supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. With the announcement yesterday that Philadelphia Democratic Congressman Bob Rady will not seek re-election, newly announced candidates and potential candidates are popping up like mushrooms. But WHYY's Dave Davies reports they may discover that the seat they were planning to run for has disappeared.
Incumbents in Congress are hard to beat. So when a 20-year veteran like Brady takes his leave, it's a gift.
The election to replace Bob Brady is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for somebody.
That's Democratic strategist Mark Nevins. Before Brady's announcement, five potential candidates had already appeared. Now?
Well, now it's a free-for-all.
But the open seat these candidates think they're running for could vanish before their eyes. Why? The state Supreme Court has found Pennsylvania's districts to be gerrymandered and has ordered new maps drawn right away. Maps that form compact districts and don't split counties unless absolutely necessary. Right now, Philadelphia is split into three congressional districts that all have sizable suburban areas also. But the city's population is a nearly perfect fit for two complete districts. Alan Butkovitz, a Democratic ward leader and until very recently Philadelphia City Controller, says the fix is pretty obvious.
The logic of the state Supreme Court order is that Philadelphia be turned into two congressional districts.
Brady is retiring from Congress, but the other two Philadelphia representatives, Brendan Boyle and Dwight Evans, are not. Evans says all the new candidates planning their campaigns need to start with one big question.
You know, if I was advising them, I think you got to look at first, what district are you running in? You know, right now, I'm not even clear what district I'm running in.
Boyle says he's waiting to find out the shape of his district.
If you try to balance the need for compactness with as few county splits as possible, then a lot of the configurations end up having two Philadelphia or heavily majority Philadelphia seats.
A two-district map would be easier following Brady's departure, since mapmakers wouldn't have to force incumbents to run against each other. It would be easy to divide the city on a north-south axis, leaving an Evans district on one side and a Boyle district on the other, which means all those fresh-faced Philadelphians who want to run for Congress would have to beat an incumbent after all. Brady's district would pretty much disappear. One thing could change that. Republicans have asked the U.S. Supreme Court to halt the redistricting process. If they do, candidates can run for Brady's old seat at least one more time. Dave Davies, WHYY News.
A new state-by-state study of flagship public universities by the Hechinger Report ranks the University of Delaware the fifth least diverse campus in the United States. The study is based on 2015 enrollment numbers. Up-to-date data collected by WHYY shows the university has made some improvements, but the Newark, Delaware campus still struggles to attract black students, as WHYY's Zoe Reed reports.
Hechinger, a nonprofit news organization focused on education, reports 33% of Delaware public high school graduates in 2015 were black, but only 6% of the University of Delaware's freshman class was black. Only four flagship universities in the South had bigger gaps. The University of Mississippi ranked the worst. After years of criticism, Delaware hired a diversity provost in 2014 and announced a plan of action the following year. 2017 data collected by WHYY shows some improvements have been made since then, particularly among Latinos and Asians. But of UD's 18,144 main campus undergraduates, only 5.2% are black. State Representative J.J. Johnson says that must change.
If we were able to address the concerns in African American community, you know, especially here in Delaware, we'd be able to address some of the inequities that we have in the state. I'm thinking about African Americans in key positions throughout the state, and looking at the University of Delaware is probably similar to the concerns that people have with the state government as a whole.
UD's Vice Provost of Diversity, Carol Henderson, says improvements have been made. She points to its 2017 Insight into Diversity Higher Education Excellence in Diversity Award. UD was one of 80 schools to receive the honor from the publication that tracks diversity in higher education. However, it was not one of the 16 named diversity champions.
I think we're making great strides. There's always room for improvement. While we're not where we would like to be, having that national recognition went a long way to say that we're on the road to improvement. So we are making progress. I've seen a shift in the culture here.
Still, more than 78% of students on main campus are white. While the Hispanic population has increased by 87 students since 2016, and Asian students increased by 24 in that same time period, the number of Black students remains stagnant at 951. It's the same as last year, but since the total student population increased, the actual percentage fell slightly. Jimmy Issa, a junior at the university who is Black and Muslim, says his community service fraternity and the school's student center, where he holds a job, make a noticeable effort to ensure diversity. But he says the university can do better.
As a campus as a whole, I don't know. I don't believe we're making an improvement. I think it's slight, if anything. I know there's some work to be done.
Perhaps the issue starts with admissions. Data shows about 68% of applicants are white. Of the Black students that do apply, about 34% are offered admission and 30% of those enroll. The university has made progress on its 32-page list of goals to improve diversity. It set aside funds to recruit faculty and create opportunities for minority students and evaluated its multicultural courses. Dr. Freeman Williams, vice president of the NAACP's Newark chapter, says he believes the university is making an effort.
Is everything perfect? Of course not. Is there a lot of work ahead of us? Of course. But I think there's a real willingness and a real cooperative attitude and atmosphere with all the parties involved.
Williams and Representative Johnson suggest a first step could be outreach to African Americans that goes beyond the typical high school recruiting visits. From the Delaware Desk, Zoe Reed, WHYY News.
WHYY's Tom McDonald is in Minnesota this week preparing for the Sirius radio broadcast of Super Bowl 51. He took time out earlier this afternoon to offer up Eagle Eye observations. Tom, welcome to Newsworks tonight.
Always a pleasure, Dave.
I'm hearing background noise. Where are you?
This is the room where the Eagles have their daily press conferences. This is the last one of those. Now the team gets to settle in and actually concentrate on the game and put the media behind them in the rearview mirror, at least until after the game.
Anything of particular interest coming from today's press conference?
Well, one of the little tidbits that we got was Doug Peterson gives his crew ice cream the night before a game, and he says he tries to make that team meeting incredibly short because he doesn't want the ice cream to melt.
No worries about that. What is the weather today?
It was -2 with a wind chill of like -20. We're talking similar numbers for game day.
Thank goodness that game is not out of doors.
That's correct. The stadium is very interesting. I was there yesterday. There's actually a sky bridge for the fans to come in so they stay out of the cold.
Good thing this isn't a game featuring the Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings. There would be decided home advantage.
Well, let me tell you something. The fans here are not very happy with the Eagles fans for a number of reasons. On Monday night, they have an event called Opening Night, and when the Eagles came out, they were soundly booed, something the Vikings were a week before. So the fans, mostly Minnesota people, were just trying to get even.
In addition to the Eagles' daily press conferences, have you been in attendance at Patriots affairs?
I have, and it's basically the same affair. You have one big room where the coach and the quarterback speak, and then they have little risers about 3 feet off the ground where the key players sit, and then the other players rove around for media to ask them questions on the fly. It's a very interesting thing to watch here, Dave, when you see the pregame hype. Now, from here on in, the players can actually concentrate on football. And they've been 2 weeks preparing for this. The game plan is in place, but there are a lot of people that have a lot of butterflies in their stomach, especially a lot of first-time players for the big game.
And so is there any sense that the Eagles are more caught up in the hype and have more butterflies in their bellies than the Patriots, who are veterans of these affairs?
Well, that's not necessarily the case. There are several Eagles that have had time playing in prior Super Bowls with prior teams, so they're talking to their compatriots, trying to calm them down, explain to them, wherever you go, there's going to be heavy security. Wherever you go, you're going to run into fans, and you just have to block all that out, concentrate on the task ahead, which is winning the game and bringing the trophy back to Philadelphia.
Any Carson Wentz sightings?
There have been talk of Carson Wentz sightings. Nick Foles has said Carson Wentz has been important to him, helping him through everything. But Carson's trying to be downplayed here, although he is from not too far from here in North Dakota. So there's a lot of North Dakota fans who had bought tickets thinking they were going to go to a Carson Wentz Super Bowl. And unfortunately, because of his injury, he's only going to be on the sidelines.
Any pop-up Super Bowl shops?
Absolutely. One of the interesting things about the pop-up Super Bowl shops that are sponsored by the NFL is there's not a lot of Eagles merchandise. It seems like they were behind on that. They got some in today, and they're saying as soon as they get it in, people are buying it up. So there's definitely Eagles fans here, or at least people want to buy Eagles memorabilia and put them on eBay.
Describe some of the more unusual prop bets this time around.
There are just so many crazy bets. You can bet on whether the coin flip is heads or tails, whether there's a City of Brotherly Love reference. Will Al Michaels say the word underdog? Will Donald Trump tweet during the game? And will any players take a knee during the national anthem?
And, of course, the obvious bet, will the Eagles cover the spread? Where does that stand as of today?
The last time I saw the spread, it was hanging about 5 points. The question is, will the Eagles win outright? And that's all Philadelphia fans care about. They're caring about a parade next week.
Let's hope for the outcome we all are hoping for here in the Philadelphia region.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave.
WHYY's Tom McDonald on Newsworks Tonight. The buzz is growing in Philadelphia as Sunday draws near. The City of Brotherly Love is getting ready to cheer on the Eagles as they face the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52. But what about Patriots fans living behind enemy lines in Philadelphia? WHYY's Joe Hernandez talked to a few.
Two Sundays ago, on the same day the Eagles clinched their spot in this year's Super Bowl, so did the Patriots.
New England does it in one of the toughest years. We thought they lost a lot of guys. You lose Gronkowski, give Bill Belichick credit. This team finds a way.
Special. Patriots fan Kimberly Reed jumped on social media and found all her friends who are Eagles fans gloating about their victory.
People who don't win or who are not used to going to championships, that's how they act. So I get it. I let them have their pass. Champions, we sit back and relax because we know what's going to happen on Sunday.
The Cherry Hill resident grew up in Boston and Connecticut, but she moved to the Philly area to attend college at Westchester University and graduate school at Temple. She moved to Eagles country, but Reed never became an Eagles fan. She says her friends give her a hard time for backing the Patriots, but she gives it right back to them.
They have memes, I've got memes. They've got stats, I've got stats. They want to go back to history, I got history. They want to compare quarterbacks, we'll compare quarterbacks.
Reed is one of an unknown number of Eagles contrarians rooting against the Birds in this year's Super Bowl. Many of them may be quietly encouraging the Pats, but for others, the Eagles-Patriots showdown leaves them no place to hide.
This is just a difficult period of time that we have to kind of get through, right?
Pam Croak lives in Glenside. She's a Patriots fan. Her husband bleeds green. Croak says they've instituted a no gloating rule ahead of Sunday's game, which they'll be watching together at home.
We'll be wearing our team garb, which, you know, I have quite a few championship shirts to choose from. My husband, not so many. So, you know, that's going to go into play as well.
I think you just broke the no gloating rule.
I'm not gloating, I'm just stating a fact.
Croak has been a Patriots fan for a while, so long so that she remembers when they were a bad team, when they were the underdog. She's also a longtime booster of the Boston Red Sox.
I am very familiar with losing teams, having been a Red Sox fan. So I can sympathize greatly with Eagles fans, and part of me really thinks, ooh, you know, it would be so nice for the Eagles fans to get it, but I just don't want it this year. How about next year?
Brian Reed from King of Prussia says he lives in a divided household too. Reed grew up in Massachusetts and loves the Patriots, but his wife is an Eagles fan.
My wife will not even sit in the same room with me because I'm so into it. Screaming at the TV, standing up, pointing in front of the TV, anything in the world. She won't even watch the Super Bowl with me.
The husband-wife rivalry is so bad that it's even affecting the couple's plans for watching the big game this year.
Really, and all our friends, every year we usually have a pretty big Super Bowl party. Had one last year when the Patriots were in there as well. This year we're not doing it because everyone, you know, it's kind of an awkward thing.
And if the Eagles wind up parading down Broad Street, that will be a little awkward too. Joe Hernandez, WHYY News.
And, of course, there are plenty of Eagles fans living in other cities who'll be tuning in for the game, though many of them won't be able to get Philadelphia's culinary hallmarks like cheesesteaks, roast pork sandwiches, and soft pretzels. One native South Jerseyan, Trudy Helge of Davis, California, misses soft pretzels so much, she's having them sent to her from a friend who works in a pretzel bakery.
My kids love soft pretzels. You really can't get good soft pretzels out in California. So I sent her a message and asked if she'd be able to send us some overnight so we could have them for a party.
Let us know what Philadelphia staples are a must at your game. Send a written or recorded audio comment to NewsWorks Tonight at WHYY.org. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader. Find us on iTunes or listen back at whyy.org/news. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Heller, NewsWorks Tonight.